Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers, essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Hey everyone, it's Dr. April Jasper here with the Dr. April Jasper Show. And I'm super excited to be with someone that I've had the chance to work with a lot in the last couple of years, Charlie Lee, the CEO of Connexient. And Charlie, I don't know if they know what Connexient is, so tell them a little bit about you and who Connexient is.
Sure. Hello, everyone. First and foremost, this is my first ever podcast, so I'm a little bit nervous. But Connexient is one of the largest, media companies in America or the world, geared specifically to the healthcare industry. We have very strong presence within, optometry, ophthalmology, of course, how we know you, yeah. But then also within dental, oncology, and then we've expanded into several other disciplines in the last 2 years. So, about myself, I've been with the organization since January of 2022, so coming up on 4 years. It's been an amazing ride. We've seen all kinds of ups and downs with regards to the to the world and all these advances,
right.
Before when I started, AI was not really a thing as an example, but it's amazing. I'm actually based out of Southern California, but I identify as Chicago and Chicago is where I was raised and I still consider home.
So you're okay with hot weather and cold weather?
Yes, yes. and I miss my deep dish pizza. I'm probably going to go to Giordano's tonight.
Oh, plug. I love that. So, Charlie, you've seen, I honestly forgot it had been 4 years. So, wow, congratulations and welcome to the world of eyeballs,
yes.
But what do you see when you look at what we deal with as optometrists and speak for ophthalmology, too? I mean, obviously, your publications cover both and events. And besides events, publications, website, digital, talk to me about what challenges you see that we might face and also what solutions you have as a company for not only your customer, the doctor, healthcare provider, but also your other customer, the vendors or supporters. I call them vendors. You call them whatever you guys call them.
Yeah.
So back to the question. What did I ask you? I asked you, what do you see as our challenges? And then some of the solutions that Connexient has for both of us.
Yeah, I think if you just think about the last 4 years, I think one of the biggest challenges and opportunities, of course, is the way people consume data is so different than even 4 years ago, right? The rise of TikTok and Reels and Instagram. And what have they been able to do? They have been able to micro-size content, and they've done an amazing job of personalizing the content you see within your feeds. And I think that as we continue to see, that feels like a behavior that's helping, helping us in terms of our personal lives and, what we're seeing. But I think we're seeing a lot of HCPs are also digesting content that way. And so, what we're focused on and obsessed on, honestly, is we've built some great tools and we're building all kinds of things to amplify the content. But more importantly, put it into, 6 or 7 different formats to consume. And a lot of those things, if you think about it, they're teasers to get you to click on the link to maybe watch the 8-minute
right.
recipe or,
which is fine.
Tip, right? And that's the way we think now. And that's the way we consume. So we spend a lot of time, energy building these tools. We call it Content Boost in here. And we're actually launching a new website called MD Spire, which will include vision in terms of all the different multi-specialties where we're taking the scientific clinical data, putting into all kinds of different summary forms, ultimately linking back to the actual information, which will help obviously the readers and then hopefully help our clients in terms of sponsorship and our publishers who need those eyeballs to you know, keep and that revenue stream that we share with them. So to me, that's the biggest fundamental change I've seen, like in terms of behaviors.
I like that. I mean, I think in the old days we thought of that and we would hear that and think that's kind of creepy that somebody knows that much about me. But I think we're all past that. We're at the point now where we know that's reality. And I'm now at the point where as an optometrist and as the one that's reading this and seeing this content, viewing it, I would much rather you make it personalized for me. So personalization, right?
Yep.
And for the viewer, the reader, but also for the vendor, sponsor, supporter.
Yes. And like I said, I think it's also, it's not that it's just personalized. It's also, it comes at you in three different ways, potentially.
That's good.
And then you realize, and then they hit you three different ways, and you ultimately say, yep, I'm going to do it through Instagram, or I'm going to do it through LinkedIn, or I'm going to do it through my email, text messages. And then you finally engage, right? And I think the relevancy is so important now, right? And that's why the personalization, it is a little creepy. I think it's going to even get creepier. But it's almost like what we expect. Like, why am I seeing this ad? This makes no sense. They must not know me.
Yeah.
Right?
Who's been on my phone?
Who's listening to me?
Exactly. You're right, Charlie. Yeah. I think about that when I see the ads pop up that should not be on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean anything bad. I just mean something that isn't at all what my interest level is.
Yeah. We have this expectation now.
Yeah. I love this. All right. So tell me, I think the challenge, how about I not tell you what your challenge is? I'll let you. What do you think then? You talked about mine. Mine is that as the consumer of content, you realize that we, the consumer of content, are definitely looking at things different than we did before, no pun intended. What's the challenge for you?
I think it's making sure that there remains the scientific credibility and authenticity, because that's the good and bad with AI. I mean, you think about your feed now, I'll see some, and you realize this isn't real.
Right.
And so obviously if it's a thing on wild animals in Africa, it's one thing, but our healthcare professionals are, relying on this to be credible, scientific. And there's a lot of people out there who don't necessarily have, let's call it the discipline or, the guardrails in there to make sure that and little facts matter, right? You know, a 2 becomes a 4 matters or whatever it is, right? And so I think that's one of our biggest challenges is becoming trusted. We've been long trusted for our content, and so many of the journals and societies we work with are, but making sure that when we create derivative products, that they uphold the exact same scientific and credibility and authenticity, because that's critical in what we do and in terms of what you do, right? So I think that's one of our biggest challenges and opportunities. If we can continue to show that we never ever lose the accuracy and heart of the story, but we still make it easier to get to, more personalized, there's a great opportunity for us and, I guess for our readers.
So the thing that bothered me in the old days also, I say old days because 5 years ago was the old days. Yeah. But the thing that originally bothered me was social media, and I don't know how to feel about it now, was this whole concept of influencers. And I'm bringing it up even though my daughter's in optometry school, and I don't know that this is true because I don't think of myself as this, but she's like, Mom, the other students, they say you're an influencer. And I think it's funny because I don't quite understand the term, but my concern in the old days was, I don't like when I see people that I know are not real and authentic out there talking about something that they don't know anything about. And it worries me, and it worried me back then. But I think that the way the world is going is they have a following, so people are using them. And how does that come into healthcare? How does that affect Connexient?
No, it's a great question. It is so important who we and who other companies align their brands to, right? So obviously you can go for the person with the most followers, but it goes back to the authenticity, right? Yep. And the scientificness. So you've got to, obviously we partnered with you for many years, and it's important, right? It's maybe critical.
Right.
Only to a point though, because I think there's people here who are going for the cheap clicks and going for the easy, the easy stuff. And how do we make sure that we distinguish ourselves that we're not those people, right? This isn't a watered down version. This is not someone who's just being paid to say what she's saying. It's someone who lives it, breathes it, believes it, and has a conviction. I think that that's critical.
Right.
And but we have to be able to let the market know that we're different. Like, if you want the kind of clickbaity stuff, you know, doom scrolling, I think they call it, great. But like, if you're really here to learn and you're really here to engage, this is the audience you want to engage with.
Yep. That's good. And I think that's what your sponsors are also looking to you at Connexient for, is how do you help keep us engaged in this type of business that is authentic, real, and scientifically sound?
Yeah.
Because the last thing they need is to have strangeness out there. I mean, they've got to be worried about it too. And that's why I think you guys are great partners. Let's switch topics for a second. Mm-hmm. We are at an event. It is one of your amazing optometry events that Connexient puts on. It is the Optometric Management Symposium. You have another one coming up in January, the GLSLS event. And so tell me about, what is the future of events? You're not just in the world of eyeballs. You guys have dentistry, oncology.
Gastro, cardiology. You know, I think it's a... I do think there's going to be, particularly in this economic climate, some pressure on the big events, right? I do see that, and we have seen that. I think the rise of more regional programming, hybrid events where some, you know, in person, and you get a lot of the curriculum online because, you know, we're such a Zoom Teams meeting thing, mm-hmm. I think will be the case. But listen, but I think there absolutely is no substitute for face-to-face right now, right? So do I see there being some economic pressure? Yes. Time pressure, right? It takes, you know, I flew 3,000 miles to get here. There's an opportunity cost for that. And the rise of some, there's been a ton of rise in terms of virtual education, virtual meetings, etc. But there definitely is no substitute to face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, handshakes, hugs, dinners, which I think a lot of business and a lot of education will still continue going that route.
Yeah. I mean, I think community is so important. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we think education, we think getting new information to doctors. But the other thing that this is all about is community. I mean, I can tell you right now, just the people that have been here this weekend so far with us, we are friends. We get together, we encourage each other. I had a girl come up to me, a doctor come up to me just now, because I mentioned in my lecture that our son is in seminary in Chicago. Mm. I don't know if I told you that. Yeah, so he got his physics degree, his bachelor's degree in physics, and decided to go into seminary. So he's in Deerfield, Illinois, getting his MDiv.
Wow.
So he's feeling the Chicago weather right now.
Deerfield's beautiful, by the way. Beautiful community and a beautiful, it's a beautiful community up there.
But
wow,
I told her, thank you. I told everybody actually in lecture, she came up to me and said, was telling me how her daughter is in seminary, and we just immediately bonded. And that's part of the beauty of an in-person event. And also just not taking things the wrong way via text message or a quick short reel, you know? So that's all there, but it's just a question of how.
And it's going to be to see where this pendulum goes. So I have a 14 and 16-year-old daughters, and they are on their phones, and I just see their lack of human engagement. Even when they're next to someone, they're like literally texting each other, and like we're in the car together, and I'm hoping at some point that breaks again, and it comes back to like when we were growing up and whatever, pre-COVID, where it's about human connection, no phones, and it's about engaging as people. But I think there's people who greatly appreciate that, greatly long for that. And I think there's a lot of business that that happens, and a lot of friendships, to your point, and that are cultivated from that. So I think, I think events are here to stay. And whatnot, but I do think there are a handful of alternatives and things we have to contemplate in terms of how we make it almost the same thing, more relevant for that Midwest crowd, that Southwestern crowd, but also those exact audiences where I think the big events are typically one size fits all, and I think we've got to get a little bit more customized moving forward, which is what's happening on our phones.
Right.
And I think there's going to be some of that demand. Like our GSLS is a very specialized, you know, it's for the specialty lens audience, the different audience with a different set of content and different itches to scratch. And so I think you'll see more of that proliferation in the years to come.
Well, in my mind, what makes you and Connexient stand out amongst everyone that's out there is you take that data that you have, all that information and the ways that you communicate with your customer, and you then use it to create new opportunities as well as you see trends change.
Yeah.
And so I think that's beautiful. I love the ideas of finding, because we don't even know. So the crazy thing is, I don't even know what's happening. I don't know the trends. You guys do. So even me as a consumer, I look to you to help keep me updated. I don't want to not know news. I don't want to not find out about something because I wasn't there. So I love the idea of hybrid. As you look at going forward for Connexient in the next year, anything that you can tell us is on the horizon that we can be looking forward to?
Well, I think the MD Spire and the content boosts are huge. You know, we signed a major deal with Elsevier, you know, with arguably leading. And so we entered into nearly 200 new societies and, you know, 20 new specialties. So as that grows out and, you know, we're trying to build up those so they can stand toe-to-toe with our vision presence and then hopefully find other opportunities like that. We've signed a couple deals directly. One of the things we're really excited about is we are in the process of signing.
By the time this is out, everybody will know.
We're creating an AI publication with one of the biggest associations out there. And we've already pitched it to a couple other ones because, listen, that's what you care about. That's what all kinds of important the masses are caring about. Like, how is AI going to impact my practice? So we've been able to develop a publication specifically with that with one of the most prominent associations. And we have another one we're talking to, and we think that it is an area of expertise for us. It's an area of great need for healthcare providers and for the society. So that's another big thing that we're very excited about.
I love it.
Yeah.
So one of the things I always ask people, Charlie, get ready for it. Okay. It's an easy one. And you've done fabulous. Everybody, I'm telling you, everyone listening and watching, they've seen a lot of guests. Nobody probably that have not been on a podcast before. So you've done amazingly well.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. If there was one thing you could tell your younger self, what would it be? Do I need to ramble?
No.
Do you need time to think?
You know, I've been blessed to live in a lot of places. So I grew up in Chicago, but I've lived in California, New York, Toronto, England, and now I live in Southern California. I think I had too many preconceived notions. I've learned so much by living in different places, but there were opportunities to have known that without having to live it. Now, there's only things you can do when you live there. But yeah. I think if I would have told myself, it's like, I think I would have wished to have been more curious when I was younger about the differences in people and the differences in culture. And I'm trying to impart that with my daughters, that it's a really big world out there. And I was kind of provincial. And I've overcome a lot of that, but I know I could have been far further along the curve if I would have known that as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Like one great example is I've lived abroad, and when I see American students, and I remember when I was offered to me, I was like, why would I do that? I could be in a cornfield in Champaign, Illinois, and these kids are in Venice and in Paris and Edinburgh. And I'm thinking, that was a bad decision. And I envy those people. Those kids who either their parents or they had the foresight to say, no, I want to study abroad. I want to learn something new. But like, that's one very tangible example of something like a regret I have.
I love that. Your daughters are very blessed, Charlie.
Yeah, thank
for you.
You
to be doing what you're doing for them and helping them to see the things you didn't see.
Yeah.
I know they feel the same way.
I hope so. Or one day they'll be sitting on a podcast or whatever's happening in 2040. Talking about like, yeah, I wish I would listen to my dad.
Yeah, that's our kids will definitely say that about something.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, Charlie, I just want to say thank you for being here. Our listeners are not just eye doctors. They are, some of them are patients. Some of them are from other industries. And for them to hear from you, the CEO of Connexient, an amazing company with a wonderful future, I think is just a gift. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for everything you've done for the, you know, the industry and everything you do for us. So it's a great partnership.
Thank you.
Thanks.